You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Let's talk about Scrooge!
Alright, let me see here. I want to verify I'm recording just to be sure. And I am. Good. Yep, file's growing. Good. Perfect. Alright, I guess I'll kick it off.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Alright, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, and online I've got Rose.
Hey, everybody.
And we are on episode 13. Talking about one of our favorite retro 1980s Christmas movies, Scrooged, with director Richard Donner and the wonderful Bill Murray. This is just awesomeness in so many levels. And you and I were actually just wrapping up a conversation that we had with Scott. So if our listeners would have picked up on the previous episode, which was about A Christmas Vacation, you would have heard the conversation where Rose was talking about this being one of her favorite movies, Christmas movies of all time. And so it was because of the well, actually explain it for us, Rose.
Oh, okay. Because this is the classic tale of redemption. If anyone's familiar with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, this pretty much is a modernized version of that. Scrooge is Ebenezer Scrooge. He's an old guy in London back in the Victorian times that was rich and super greedy and very selfish and very cheap and ate stuff like soup and bread for dinner and hoarded all his money and saved all his money. But, you know, everybody's got a backstory. So in order to see where he made himself out to be in the present, you had to see where he came from. Now, not everybody turns out like that. You know, some people actually do 180 and then they're okay. But some people, they take it personal. And in this movie, Scrooged, Bill Murray's upbringing is, you know, it's quite, I don't know, his dad's a butcher. He's kind of gruff all the time because he's always complaining about people never wanting to work. And, you know, and it's just, he just doesn't have time for his son. And then, of course, he has another child that he doesn't have time for. But oddly enough, the other child doesn't quite turn out like his brother. And it just goes to show you there's like two sides to every story. So you see Bill Murray's character at the beginning and you're like, wow, this guy needs help. Well, he's about to get it in kind of the worst terms you can possibly think of ever, you know, but sometimes people, and coin or the quote, the line from Carol Kane's character, sometimes you gotta slap them in the face to get their attention, you know, and he's definitely one of those people. So let's do this thing.
Yeah, I actually thought, you know, the writing of this was pretty genius. The fact that they made Bill Murray's character, Frank Cross, a TV executive, you know, and actually producing Scrooged, or not Scrooged, but actually Christmas Carol, you know.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, so, so it's like, you know, to have that as the backdrop of this story and then have Frank Cross, his character, having to go through that whole actual experience, you know, and a complete modern take on it was actually kind of genius. It was a story within a story talking about the story that it was about. And it was just kind of like, wow, that's, it's got, you know, if you look at it, you know, as far as layers go, you know, this movie had it. And it did it very well.
Yes. And I think, and it just goes to show you that even though he is in his television network is producing this big live extravaganza of a Christmas Carol, he still doesn't get it. You know, he's like, you know, he's so wrapped up in everything that he's doing, and it's all coming from Africa and Brazil and all these places. And he's just like, yeah, I know the story, but never once does he ever think that that's him.
Right.
So that's why if you start to notice that once, you know, the show starts going, that a lot of this stuff is kind of coming out of the show and manifesting itself in real life. Which is awesome. This is just like, it's perfect.
So, what do you think about Karen Allen playing Claire? I mean, she was fun.
She made a great Claire. I couldn't imagine anybody else doing Claire. I love Karen Allen, and she has such an unique jovialness about her. You know what I mean? She's not like crazy, haha, funny. She's just sweet. She's like the girl next door. And she's easy smiling and very, you know, uplifting. And just, she was the perfect person for that role. Perfect person.
Yeah, I think, you know, if the people that were putting this movie together, I mean, if they would have went for like the, you know, like some sort of, I don't know, you know, let's say model type. You know, for the to fill that role, I think they would have missed out because they needed that, you know, the very, the girl next door that was just cute and, for lack of a better way of saying it, perky, you know, that just had sensibility about her, and the kind that you would believe is trying to save the world. You know, that's what that needed. That's what that role needed, and Karen Allen was able to do that just wonderfully.
Yes, definitely, and she had, like I said, the perfect demeanor for that. And I am listening to you, but I'm thinking she's been in so much other stuff that I'm wanting to say, and I have to go back into the 80s to do that. She was in another movie that I really liked, and.
Maybe you're thinking about Indiana Jones?
No.
Animal House?
No.
Starman?
Oh, I just lost it. No, I think it was further back. And I don't want to say it and be wrong. I want to actually find it and be like, yeah, it was that one. But she was, yeah, she was in all of those. She was in Starman, Split Image, Ghost, Shoot the Moon. There's a lot of East of Eden, Cruisin'. That was a good one. She played Nancy in Cruisin'. She was in Animal House. I guess I'm thinking of the wrong person. But I thought she was in Dead Zone. I must be thinking about somebody else.
Okay.
But she was in Animal House. And because I remember seeing her before, I just couldn't remember where. And yep. She was in Circle of Friends, too, so...
Yeah, that was her first role, it looks like, was Animal House.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was in some really good stuff. Yeah, so she'd already been...
She was the one screwing the professor, so...
Ah, that's right.
Yep.
Donald Sutherland.
Yep, that's him.
Yep. Yep. Amazing how that worked out.
All right, so what about Bryce Cummings, John Glover?
I mean, John Glover.
Man, he was swarmy. He was so swarmy in this.
He was. And, you know, he did a good swarmy. He was really good. He played the perfect yuppie.
Yeah.
Up-and-coming. You know, blasé, bourgeois, and all those other adjectives that you want to throw out there. But he was a climber, and he was ambitious, and he was just waiting, you know, waiting in the wings. So, because he knew he had what it took to get the job done, you know. And Robert Mitchum pretty much gave him his in, you know, to work alongside Frank and, you know, guide him and or learn from him or.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be learning from him, but he...
yeah, the air quotes, learn from him. Yeah, he was looking for his way to take over.
Absolutely, yeah. And any inch that he could, he basically jumped on that. So he's a good character. He's a good actor for that type of character. I liked him in that.
Yeah, he if you would have had a later day equivalent, I keep thinking of Rob Lowe in Wayne's World.
Yeah.
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 Just definitely. Like, don't give this guy an inch because he's going to take a mile before you know it.
Oh, yeah. Very smooth.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
All right. So, Bobcat.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Well, you know. What can you not say about Bobcat Goldthwait? He had so many... This is probably one of his more normal roles, I think. Because if you remember him at all from...
Police Academy?
Because he got the Police Academy, but he was also in a John Cusack movie...
Better Off Dead.
One Crazy Summer. In One Crazy Summer.
One Crazy Summer, that's right.
Yeah, and he was great in that movie, only because he was kind of wacky, and he was good at being wacky. So they had, I think, I got a little concerned, I have to admit, when I first saw his character, because I'm like, no! You're not going to try and upstage Bill Murray, are you, with your wackiness? He was in Hot to Trot, too, which was pretty good. Tapeheads. Burglar. Yeah, he played Egg Stork. He was one of the Stork brothers. And I'm trying to think who played his brother in that. Tom Villard played Clay Stork. But it was, you know, he is a very unique... style of comedy, and of course his voice is very, you know, inarticulate, so yeah, I think he kind of just took that and ran with it, and people just, you know, loved that part about him. And for him to be in this movie and you're able to actually understand most of what he's talking about, it's like, oh, So you do know how to talk normal. That's great. I like that.
Yeah, wasn't he like in the boardroom or something like that? He's like, Mr. Cross, I don't agree with that. Yeah. It's like, get rid of him.
Yeah, Elliot Loudermilk. Yeah, and he's like, you know, if I can, because he tells him, he says, do you think I went over the top a little bit? Well, maybe a little. He says, well, you know, having this information beforehand would have been helpful. He says, well, it's only because we just kind of saw it. He goes, yeah, I did spring it on you, didn't I? He goes, yeah, a little bit. He says, well, if I can change this within the next 30 minutes, he says, you'll be the first to know. And he's like, okay. He's like, you know, Mr. Cross, I appreciate that because, you know, you and I, we're kind of a little bit alike. And he's like, mm-hmm. So he calls down and he does a code for Elliot Loudermilk. He's fired. He's like, Mr. Cross, it's Christmas. Oh, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, cancel his bonus. It's like, Elliot Loudermilk's leaving early today. Boom! And it's like 30 seconds and he's out of the building. I was like, dude, oh my gosh. Yeah, so that... like horrible. Like, yeah, I can let you know. I'll tell you. Oh, I guess I could. You know, this is me letting you know that I couldn't change it.
When is the last time you saw this movie?
Well, last year.
Okay, because you remember the details of that, like the firing scene, like so well. And
it's just, yeah, I've seen it a lot. I saw it a lot in its heyday, but then I watch it every year as part of my kind Christmas.
Christmas ritual, if you will.
Christmas ritual, yeah. It's the, you know, the Charlie Brown's Christmas, and it's Claymation Christmas, and then it's Muppet Family Christmas, and then Muppet's Christmas Carol, and then this, and then Christmas Vacation.
What about, do you get Rudolph in there?
I'm not a big fan of Rudolph. I was when I was a kid, but it's just too depressing to me.
I've got to see the Island of Misfit Toys. So that to me is a must-see every year. But we're going to get off topic if we go down this road.
Yeah, we can't do that.
So then we need to spend a little time talking about the ghosts.
You know, I'm really glad that, you know, whenever you have movies like this, they always have a tendency to use people that are what's happening. You know, they used... well, I don't know if Robert Mitchum was happy. He wasn't part of the ghost, but he was still his boss, and I love Robert Mitchum. So John Forsythe, of course, he, you know, back in the 80s, he was well known for, you know, what's that show with the bitch on it? What's her name? Joan Collins. Dynasty.
Oh,
he played, you know, he played the husband, and she was the ex-wife, and then, of course, then... the new wife, and you know, they were always fighting and arguing about something, so he was on that. And then of course he played the voice of Charlie and Charlie's Angels, but that's going back a little further. But because he was relevant in the media at the time, I think that's probably why they used him. And you know, he was a very good actor. He was very good. I'm going to call him a suave actor, like Ricardo Montalban. He always had such a quality about him that, you know, he's always very smooth, very well put together, you know, not a hair out of place. He was always very understated, you know, and he wasn't all over the top and flailing his arms about, you know, how sometimes some characters are like that. But John Forsythe was a very good actor in over the years in television. And
I'd say he exudes control.
There you go. Perfect way to summarize that statement. Lou Hayward, to see him as Lou Hayward, it's just amazing. That entrance alone, you know, where he's coming in and he needs Bacardi and he's on the golf course. He's got the golf irons in his bag and his mice falling out of his head. I mean, it's just... You know, it's perfect. He's like, I don't care what you do to me, but, you know, don't shoot the Bacardi. I was like, dude. Yeah, okay. I'll try not to. But, yeah, it's just, you know, that to me was, okay, this is, you know, this is the ghost of, this is your precursor to, you know, the ghosts that are coming. So, good call, you know, for Lou Hayward.
And almost unrecognizable, you know, as, you know, a character of John's. But it had to be fun for him. Because it feels like, you know, compared to the other characters that he's played, you know, that we're talking about, he still had that air of control about him. But it was just like, you know, it's like, okay, now, all right, John, here's what we're going to do next is, you know, we're going to have a ball come out of you with like a little mouse or something, you know, mm-hmm. It was like, really? All right, cool. Let's go for it. You know?
Yeah. And I think he had a lot of fun with that role.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, we're going to shoot you, and then there's going to be electric coming out, you know, from all the holes. Yeah, it's like, hell yeah, let's do that. You know, you would have thought that would have been fun. You know, to like, oh, what else are you going to do to me?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, when he's standing there and he's you know, he makes fun of you know, Lou. This I'm quoting one of the quotes that they have, and Lou Hayward is trying to explain to him his plight, like, you know, Jacob Marley was trying to explain to Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, I had money, I had power, you know, but I didn't have my, you know, faith in humanity. I didn't have mankind should have been, you know, I can't remember the line, but he said mankind should have been my business. He said you were a captain of business in the book, and he says mankind should have been my business. And Lou Hayward's quote was, I was a captain of industry, feared by men, adored by women. And Frank Cross says, adored? Come on, let's be honest, Lou, you paid for the women. I'm like, whoa! Too much there, I'm thinking, you know? But he did get, you know, at some point he did get a little tired of Frank's, you know, snappy comments, and that's when he holds him out the window.
Yeah, you know? I very brave of Frank to sit there and just backtalk a ghost.
Mm-hmm. No respect.
Yeah, exactly. I think I would have like, okay, whatever you say, you know, but that's just me.
Just his arrogance.
Yeah.
That just shows his arrogance. He doesn't even have the wherewithal to understand what's going on, and he's hanging by literally one arm, you know, and he's trying to grasp onto him so he doesn't fall, and then of course lose arm because he's decayed. Just literally just starts, and the graphics and the special effects on that was just amazing. How they just literally, you just see his muscles just pull apart like spaghetti, and there he goes. He's like, I don't want to be a suicide, not on Christmas Eve. And he just, you know, lets him fall while he's laughing, and of course, you know, it's great.
Yeah, that's just a crazy scene of just hanging outside the window,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. And then just having nothing to claw at but a decaying arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the kind of things that really would give you nightmares.
Yeah.
But I think that was the whole point, right? So, I mean, that was kind of the setup for the rest of the ghost. I love the modern take on having the Ghost of Christmas Past be a taxi driver. You know, it's like,
That
genius, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just loved it. And then David Johansen with his delivery. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy is so iconic in just about anything that he does.
Right.
And, oh God, it was just so much fun. And then, you know, I love the whole dialogue with him. It's like, well, this is where the waterworks start.
Yeah. When Attila the Hun saw his mother, Niagara Falls. You know, like, whatever. The fact that they even got David Johansen, see, this is just like, this is perfect, because he was actually, he's a musician, and he was actually starting, he was revamping his solo career, because I don't know if he knows or not, but he goes by another name, but he was actually the lead singer for the New York Dolls back in the day.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So then he came, you know, they did like one or two gigs, I think, and they flourished for a bit, and then they fell apart, and then he went on and did a bunch of stuff, his solo career, and he did that really, that Caribbean song, Hot, Hot, Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he did that.
Buster Poindexter, yeah.
So it's just, it's hysterical that they actually got him to do. When I saw him as a Ghost of Christmas Past, I just laughed. First time I saw this movie, everybody that, you know, was a character that, you know, what, like Ghost of Christmas Present, and of course there's nothing to laugh at with Ghost of Christmas Future because he's just a big shroud of death. So, but just to be able to see these people, you know, in doing their characters, it was just, it's like you couldn't have picked anybody better.
Yo, I'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
With me in the booth is Elliot Loudermilk. Elliot, how are we doing up there?
Open his mic.
Wonderful, but I don't think you're going to be president tomorrow.
At least I am the president of the network tonight. Tomorrow morning I may not be.
You can bet your Aunt Susie's ass can on that.
So what are you doing watching television on Christmas Eve?
They're paying your salary, you ass!
What kind of a rat bastard idiot would schedule a live show on a Christmas Eve?
Only you, Frank.
You know, a week ago, I'd have kicked your butt right out of the building. But you know something? He's absolutely right. You are looking at a guy who told someone today to staple antlers to a mouse's head to further my career. How many of you people have got the brass cojones to try something like that?
Follow him. Stay with him.
Family.
I don't know where he's
going. All of these people, I'm sure, have incredible families, but I have. Look, I got a great brother. Look at this guy here. My brother James. Look how cute he was back then.
Oh, that's now.
And look at me with the ears, the taxi driving down the street with the doors open. Thank God my hair grew in, huh?
Yes.
Not yet.
I got this for Christmas today from him. I gave him a towel. The VCR is from Grace, James.
You were right about everything, okay? Except the SS Minnow, James. What was the ship that brought them all to Gilligan's Island? The SS Minnow. No points this round, James.
Shit.
Wait a minute. How did he know we were playing that?
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, control room, how can I help you?
This is Rhinelander. I want to talk to the idiot who put that moron on the air.
Oh, Bryce Cummings is the idiot, really, sir. But he can't talk to you right now because, he's tied up.
Uh-huh.
Yes, in fact, he just said that you are a flatulating butthead.
A butthead?
He said he never felt that way about a man before, but he really liked you in a certain way.
I dropped her. I'm just kidding. She's a doll. It's okay. It's all right. It's a party. Come on. It's Christmas Eve. Lighten up a little bit. Billy, we are going to need champagne for 250 people, and please send the stuff that you send to me. Don't send the stuff that I send to other people. You know, it's not too late on Christmas Eve to have fun.
You can call people that you haven't seen. You can call a college roommate. You can call, you know, an old army buddy.
Keep that tape rolling.
Your personal banker.
Hey! I don't hear any partying in that boat, Elliot!
Great! You heard him party!
Now why wasn't I invited?
Now that was just an innocent window and you saw what I did to that. Oh, I don't know who you're dealing with.
I mean, it's a night. You've got to party hardy, Marty. Look at this. Check this out. Whoa! Don't be so mean. Look at this. There's a rule. There's a tradition that says, I have to kiss this girl on the lips. Well, she's just upholding the law. It's a federal law, actually. It's not just a state thing.
Hey, thank you. Whoa.
Mr. Cummings.
Boy, that was very good. But you know what? It wasn't great. There has only been one grade.
There is a girl that I wish I were with tonight. It's a girl that I loved a long time ago. A girl that I still love. It's Christmas Eve. It's not too late, is it? Claire, do you remember? Legs around like this, then this thing here. You circle me, chanting, burning incense before we begin. Tonight, I think we could do this without serious physical or psychological damage.
Happy! Can you get me to the IBC building in 3 minutes?
Which floor?
We should be taping this.
I'm telling you, I'm not crazy. It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We share a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be. It's a miracle. It's really a sort of a miracle because it happens every Christmas Eve. And if you waste that miracle, you're gonna burn for it. I know what I'm talking about. You have to do something. You have to take a chance. You do have to get involved. There are people that are having trouble making their miracle happen. There are people that don't have enough to eat. There are people that are cold. You can go out and say hello to these people. You can take an old blanket out of the closet and say, here, you can make them a sandwich and say, oh, by the way, here. I get it now. And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, you the miracle will happen, and then you'll want it to happen again tomorrow. You won't be one of these bastards who says Christmas is once a year and it's a fraud. It's not. It can happen every day. You just got to want that feeling. And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it. You'll want it every day of your life. And it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's going to happen to me now. I'm ready for it. And it's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time. I'm ready. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Now back to the show.
And then we go off of that to Carol Kane as the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Carol Kane.
Yeah, and her continual physical abuse of Bill Murray.
I do.
It's just hilarious. Oh, look at this. You know, the toaster and yeah. Bam, clocks
him. Yeah. Yeah. Bitch hit me with a toaster. But she was like, you know, I mean, the first time anybody I think ever saw her was on Taxi as Lotka's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then she went on, and I think she did some stage stuff, if I'm not mistaken. And she went on to do quite a few things. She was in one of my favorite movies, License to Drive. She played Corey Haim's mother, who's pregnant. And she had a lot of really good. She was in Jumpin' Jack Flash. With Whoopi Goldberg. She was one of her co-workers at the bank. You know, so she always had these really good comedic roles because she had that voice. Once again, someone who had a very noticeable voice, was recognizable, and was just humorous just in their delivery of just about everything. You know, you could say that about quite a few people, but Carol Kane. And even now, she's on Netflix. She's doing the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
And okay.
She plays one of the people that lives in the. She owns the building that where Kimmy lives at, and she's hysterical. I mean, she's a lot older, and she's a bit more polished, but the humor is still there, and she does a lot of improvising and stuff, which is great because she's. Just so funny. Being her having her as a ghost of Christmas present was, I don't know, I think it was supposed to be, you know, they wanted someone like really pretty, but they also wanted somebody who was a little crazy. So it was like, who can we get? It's like really super pretty, but a little crazy. Oh, well, Carol Kane, that worked. And, you know, and she's just doing him in from every turn, you know, and she takes him to see, you know, his assistant, you know, played by Elfrid Woodard. And, you know, he's like, he's asking all these questions and she's telling him that she's never had a raise. And she's like grabbing in his ear. And he's like, maybe, maybe. He's like, perhaps, perhaps. Possibly, possibly. And, you know, every time she says the word, she yanks at him harder. You know, and he's, you know, so they have this like thing back and forth to where, you know, like, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back and you're not going to like it. And she's like, you know, I like the rough stuff, you know, because he's a ghost for one. But, you know, she's really trying to get him to see what, you know, his actions have done to the people around him, you know, especially, you know, his own brother, who is funny, you know, he's when he's sending out the gifts and he tells him to send his brother a towel.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Cross, a hand towel? He says, yes. Like, your brother? Yes, your only brother. And he's like, here, do the rest of this stuff. You know, I have time for this. And she ends up sending him a VCR. And it's like, that's my ex-secretary that did that. You know, but it's just, it just goes to show you how, you know, how selfish he is and how absorbed he is in his own success. I mean, he just doesn't want to share it with anybody. But, you know, there is one person that he wanted to share it with, and he kind of blew that, so.
Yep. I was thinking another movie with Carol Kane that I just had to mention. Princess Bride. Pairing her up with Billy was just genius. Yeah, so I had to give a shout out to that, especially since we're talking 80s.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, I knew I was going to forget her in something. Yeah, because I'd seen so many things, but that was perfect.
Yeah, she between this character and that, is so much fun. It had to be a blast to work with her, I would assume. I would hope that she was just as bubbly, like, when she was off camera. I don't need someone to ruin that for me. I don't need someone to say, oh, she's a bit of a jerk. Yeah, I don't need to hear that. to me, Carol Kane, you know, I would just imagine that she would have you laughing in stitches all day. And so I've got to believe that.
Yeah.
So nobody ruined that fantasy for me.
Me neither.
Yep. So what other, are there story elements here that you wanted to cover? I mean, we kind of worked our way through a lot of the actors and actresses, so.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, Elfrid Woodard, you know, like I said, who plays his assistant, and she's who's Ebenezer Scrooge's clerk. See, just drew a blank.
Marley? No.
No, that was his partner.
Yeah. Shoot. Wow.
I know.
I can't believe I forgot that. Yeah.
I know. And many times as I've read the story. But Bob Cratchit.
Thank you, Cratchit. He's like, yes.
She's the female Bob Cratchit, and she has a little boy that has suffered a trauma. He watched his father die in front of him. He was shot while they were going to the store. And Carol Kane's character, Ghost of Christmas Present, was telling him that, because this is why he doesn't speak. He's been traumatized, and He says, Frank Cross is like, I didn't know Grace's husband had died. And she's like, oh, Frank, don't you remember the period where she wore black? He's like, well, everybody was wearing black. I just thought that was a thing. You know, and then she, like, feels sorry for him because he really is that out of touch. You know, she's like, oh, poor Frank. <You know? laughs> No, that wasn't it. But, you know, that's very sad that you thought that. But, yeah, so he's, like, starting to see all these things and that are going around him in his life that he's causing to be worse, you know? And so, and on top of it, he's got this big, huge show that he's committed to put together, you know? And so he's got the pressure there, and he's trying to get the promos out. You know, people are doing the promos, you know, in the boardroom. And he's like, you know, he's the biggest night, you know, in television history. And you've got an old fart in a chair reading a book. <You know? laughs> He's like, you know, I thought this might happen. Let me, you know, roll the promo that I created. And it's like Armageddon and Acid Rain and, you know, all of these things that are going on. And, you know, just, I think Lee Majors was involved and Saving Santa and all this stuff. I don't know. I could be crossing the street.
Lee Majors was in that. Yes, that's right.
And they, yeah, and there were like these commercials and all this crazy stuff going on. But it was just like, you can't show that to people. You know, the old lady, you know, watched it and had a heart attack and died. And he's like, you can't get publicity like that, or you can't buy publicity like that. Okay. I want you to run this promo every half hour on the hour, you know, and it's, yeah, and he's slowly losing it because he's, you know, got all this pressure, you know, to put this big, tremendous show on and impress his boss who, from the looks of things, you know, not a whole lot impresses him, you know, right. And he's come in, he's giving him suggestions about string for cats, and there's a dormouse for the cats, and you know, he's got all these damn cats at home, and he's like trying to think of all these things that integrate into the show that'll keep the cats occupied. You know, he's got all these statistics about pets that watch TV, and you've
got to love a boss like that, though. Just kind of randomly go in there and throw shit out there, like, dogs and cats watch TV, so add something in there for them. All right, gotta go.
yeah. Off I go. You know, by the way, you know, we've got lunch tomorrow at Shade Dave's or whatever, you know, with the new guy, Bryce Cummings.
Yeah.
And that's when he first starts hallucinating about, you know, he starts seeing, you know, the beginnings of the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah.
And shoes. There's this one part, which, honestly, to this day, I don't know, it's kind of in poor taste, but not really. I'm right on the fence on that. When a guy was doing the Baked Alaska, and he set it on fire, and he was on fire. Remember, he was hallucinating that the waiter was on fire?
Yeah, I remember that. I just don't kind of remember what was in poor taste.
He says, Richard Pryor? And I was seriously, dude, did you really just go there?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, that I thought, wow. Hope you two had a conversation about that before you ended. Put that in the movie. But I don't think it was him, you know. I think it was just, like I said, relevance.
Well, it was in the 80s, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So he ended up having to, you know, leave the restaurant and go outside and... That's where he caught the taxi. So, and then that started
his journey. Yeah.
His journey through time and space.
So, favorite scene from this movie?
The end.
The end. The speech.
The speech.
Yeah. Bill Murray. Bill Murray yeah. does a wonderful monologue speech, and anytime you've got Bill Murray in a movie, you've got to find a way to do this. You know, they've all, you know, Meatballs did it, Stripes did it. You know, you in some small portion it was in Ghostbusters. You know, I mean, you need, when you've got Bill Murray, you've got to give him this. And Scrooge is one of the best of those monologues.
Yeah, because he's doing it for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
And it's, and I hope you'll indulge me and let me read it, because I'm glad that they actually, because it explains Christmas. Even no one ever knows what Christmas is about. You know, either listen to Linus, you know, watch Charlie Brown Christmas, or watch this movie, because he says it's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We cheer a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be. If that doesn't sucker punch you in the gut, I don't know what does. There's like no hope for you. Because we all want to be nice people. Unless, you know, you're like Marilyn Manson or something. But maybe he wanted to be a nice person at some point. Or maybe he is. I don't know. It could be all a ruse. But it's just that one. He doesn't even give it a day or a night. He gives it a couple of hours. Couple of hours of one day. You know, that we can prove that we are nice people. And that we are the nice people that we hoped we would be. And, you know, it's just, I literally, like, wanted to start a soup kitchen after that. I wanted to, like, make soup in my house and go and put it in, like, little baggies and take it to people on the street, you know, and take them blankets. And because he even says that, you know, just make it extra, take somebody a warm blanket or make them a sandwich and say, oh, by the way, here. You know, here's, this is for you. You know, because he dealt with the guy in the sewer. Remember, he was under the sewer grate, and he had a little can of Sterno to keep himself warm, and he needed $2. And Frank Cross told him, "Well, you know, I gave it all to Liz, you know, because they thought he was, you know, they thought it was let's say Burt Reynolds, is not him, but Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, and he said, well, I gave it all to Liz, but there's a sucker inside that'll help you out. And I thought, wow, it's harsh. But, you know, that's that whole life throws you lemons. He chose not to make lemonade, you know. So.
Yeah, recently, I experienced like a moment where it was very much like this whole Frank Cross thing, where I kind of got a restoration of faith in humanity.
Wow!
And I think as to what has, you know, the news, you know, all the bad news that we see, you know, you turn on CNN, you turn on the news stations, and you get so much bad news, but I know that's what makes people tune in. That's what sells newspapers. If you want to, you know, talk old times, you know, newspapers. But that's what gets people to tune in, is the bad news stuff. But then recently there was a like a GoFundMe that was going on, where there was this homeless guy who actually donated, or there was a lady whose car stopped, and she ran out of gas. He told her to get back into her car, and then he walked to the gas station with his last $20. He brought her a refill, enough so that she'd get home again, And then yeah. she subsequently went to go back and give him his money back and then bring him stuff like toiletries and all this stuff. And uh-huh. her and her boyfriend decided that, you know, because of all this wonderfulness that he did and the caring,
uh-huh.
that yeah. They would do a GoFundMe. And then it was, you know, then thousands of people have now donated to this GoFundMe. They were only trying to raise $10,000, and it's like uh-huh. well over like $300,000 now.
Holy Moses!
So there's so many that's people amazing. That just wanted to help.
And see, that's just, you know, that's why there's so many, you know, there's so many charities out there, and there's so many good causes. You can't, you know, walk around the corner without there being something that people believe in enough for you to be a part of. And I think as long as we have stuff like that, you know, it's like, okay, well, if you can't volunteer in your neighborhood or you can't volunteer in your community, you know, if you can't go to the homeless shelter and, you know, serve Thanksgiving dinner, give us $20. That works too. You know, and I think GoFundMe is for people that just, for whatever reason, they're not that person. They can't get out there and, you know, advocate, you know, tangibly for the homeless and people who are without and children who have no parents and the elderly who have no food. But they'll give you money, you know. And a lot of people say, well, you know, that's not the same thing. Well, yeah, it is. Because there's a lot of people out there that have money that won't give it. But if I've got $5 and you need $2, I'll give you $5. I don't care. You know, that's just one less thing I got to worry about spending it on. And people that need it, you know, truthfully, it's for someone who needs it. And yeah. there's always going to be somebody out there that needs it more. For whatever reason, you know, and that's just awesome. That's just, you know, wanting, you know, 10,000 and then you end up with 300 times that. That's crazy.
Yeah, it like I said, it kind of restores the faith in
yeah
mankind.
Definitely, because there's a lot of stuff going on these days that, you know, it's just you don't know what's going to happen from day to day.
So, Rose, I hate to cut you off, but I think I need to wrap things up.
I think that's a good idea. I think we had a really good talk about Scrooge.
Definitely.
Do you remember your favorite part? Just throw it out there.
Mine was the same as yours.
Was it?
Yeah, speech at the end. Absolutely loved that monologue, his delivery of it. And like I said, anytime Bill Murray can do a speech,
mm-hmm.
You know, in any movie, you know, he's yeah. got to have that opportunity. And, you know, like I said, this is one of his best monologue speeches.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you understood that he got it, you know. He got the message. So I appreciated that from a, you know, retro Christmas perspective.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right, so I guess if anybody wants to get a hold of us, you can go to our website at BanzaiRetroCub.com, B-A-N-Z-A-I. We have links to our social media, being Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook and all that kind of good stuff. We also need you to consider donating to our Patreon, which helps us keep the show running. You know, the running the website and podcast hosting and all that kind of good stuff. It's not free. So any help that you'd like to contribute would be much appreciated. And then we also want you to do something on iTunes, and Rose will tell you about that.
Well, 'tis the season to be jolly. And what jollier way to appreciate this wonderful season is to tell people how much you love them. And that includes us. because, you know, we do this every day for nothing if we could. We can't guarantee everybody will listen, but hey, we're not perfect. So if you have an opportunity to have one of the new fancy iPhone whatevers, I think they came out with like two different ones like back to back, which is really crazy. Grab somebody's iPhone, go to Bonsai Retro Club, and no, we're on iTunes. So yeah, so go to iTunes, because that's the only way you're going to get it through the iPhone, or an iPad, or God forbid you still have an iPod, which I do, but we don't get upgrades for it anymore because it's too old. But you still get to iTunes, you go on there, and you say, oh, look at this amazing podcast, Bonsai Retro Club. I think I want to leave them a review. They had the best episode the other day about 90s music, and I just loved it. I'm going to say something really cool about them. Or I'm going to correct Rose, because ultimately I think she probably gets something wrong at least once a week. And I'm going to tell her, no, it wasn't this person. It wasn't Karen Allen that was in Dead Zone. It was Brooke Adams. And I'd be like, hey, thanks, because I was racking my brains about that for like ever. So do that for us. We'll be eternally in your debt for however long an eternity is. And we'd appreciate it, because ultimately we're not doing this for us. We're doing it for you. So thank you.
Very nicely said.
Thanks.
All right, so everybody be excellent to each other and have a good whatever.
Party on, dude.
Party on.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
Bonsai!